Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we truly humble our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, to seek to do your will, Father, to learn of you, to give our hearts to you, to become a humble people, Father, a people who are seriously seeking to do that which is right in your sight. We ask, Father, for forgiveness for our sinful nature and for the things that we've done contrary to your law. We know that Yahshua's blood has cleansed each and every one of our sins. Help us, Father, to be faithful, that we would not continue to sin, that we would be mindful of your covenant at each and every step of our lives. We thank you, Father, for bringing us home safely from the feast and for blessing each and every one of us with a great Feast of Tabernacles. Father, we know that as we look forward, that we're going to receive many challenges, and that we ask that you would prepare each and every one of us, strengthen us, that we might be able to overcome and successfully defeat the enemy as he presents himself to us. We love you, and we ask, Father, that you would send Yahshua soon, and that your kingdom would come, and that we would be a part of that kingdom soon to be implemented in this earth. We love you and thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and especially the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We ask that you would bless those on the prayer list that have a petition before you, and that you would hear their prayer, Father. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. It was 4 years ago, again, welcome home to the from the Feast of Tabernacles, brethren. It is time to get busy implementing the messages of the feast. Yahweh wants us to overcome this world with love. 4 years ago, as I said earlier, one of our elders, actually, TJ, had his accident. It was a couple weeks after the Feast of Tabernacles. And I was reading on our website, and I think everybody should do this. Go to the website and pull up TJ's memorial and just read that. Normally we do our Yitzkor, which is a year, every year after a person passes away. You know, that's what we have the Passover for Yahshua's Yitzkor. But his was, I think, April 8th. And, you know, you can... I'm talking about reading the memorial because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. He was one that fought diligently against Satan the devil and trying to establish this ministry and keep it functioning. It was October 19, 2007 that he had this accident 2 weeks after he got home from the feast. And after we got home from a great Feast of Tabernacles that year, and Satan's going to attack each and every one of us as well. Some of us even started with our attacks even before we got home. And we are entering a time of darkness for about 6 months until the next Feast of Yahweh, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we need to prepare ourselves. So during this dark time, the pagans have their festivals. And brethren, stay far from them. And do not participate in them at all. Establish the strength of Yahweh's Holy Spirit, making his love and his spirit evident in your lives. Don't be mean or nasty, but be a good servant, handling the word of Yahweh rightfully, and be at peace with all men, not the evil spirits of this world, because our war is with spiritual wickedness in high places. Our opening scripture, I want you to turn to me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, well, let's start in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So that's what we want to do. We want to prepare ourselves to be able to withstand that which is coming upon this world. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 20. See, we know Halloween and these pagan festivals are nothing as far as Yahweh is concerned. Okay? It says in verse 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. And I do not wish that you should have communion with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and the table of demons. Or do we provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And brethren, we are not stronger than Yahshua. Verse 17 to 19, it says, seeing that we, of the same passage, seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices communion with the altar? What say I then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? We know an idol is nothing. Okay? But it's not the idol. Okay? It's the worshiping of that idol. We're not supposed to have anything to do with these demons. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 9. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Jacob stands for Israel. Yaakov is Israel. His name was changed to Israel, and he is symbolic of the people of Yahweh. And they're not supposed to be involved in idolatry or demon worship. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. Yahweh does care for his people. That's why he tells us not to have anything to do with this demonic activity. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle that stirs up her nest, that flutters over her young. He spreads abroad his wings. He took them. He bore them on his pinions. Yahweh alone led him. And there was no foreign El with him. See, there were no demons with his people. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the increase of the field, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of the herd, and milk of the flock, with the fat of lambs and rams, of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the fineness of the wheat and of the blood of the grape, you drank wine. But Jeshurun, the upright one, that's what it means, grew fat and kicked. You have become fat. You have grown sleek. Thick. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he forsook Elohim who made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. We can't get like Israel did, brethren. Because what they did is they forsook the worship of Yahweh and sought after the worship of demons. It says in verse 16, they moved into jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, which were no Elohim. They're not mighty ones. To Elohim that they knew not. To new Elohim that came up late, which your father dreaded not. Of the rock that procreated you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten El that gave you birth. And Yahweh saw it, and it abhorred him, because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not El. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity. And I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So Yahweh is going to change the people, which he has. He's called the people from the Gentiles of this earth, those who were not of Israel, who have become a spiritual people. Jeremiah chapter 10, 2. We use this passage normally during the winter season, but it can be used now. It says, thus says Yahweh, learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. See? We're not supposed to be concerned about the signs in the heavens and worry about the things that are coming upon the earth, because Yahweh has prepared each and every one of us. He's given us what we're supposed to do. Turn to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, you shall make no idols, neither shall you rear up a graven image or a pillar, neither shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim. And you can say, well, you know, these people who are participating in Halloween and things of this nature, they aren't worshiping the holiday or the costumes that they are participating in and the things that they're doing. They're not doing that. Let's read further. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. He wants his people to be separate from the world. Verse 3, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their seasons, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. We know that Halloween is a pagan celebration. I don't think that's the question here, okay? But participating in it, that's the question that a lot of people have. And we know that if you're Yahweh's people, if you're a holy people, then you're going to separate yourself from this world. And that aspect of the world, celebrating these pagan festivals, are a part of that. He says that he's going to give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat of your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, and I will have respect to you, and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store long kept, and you shall bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. So Yahweh is looking for a special people, a special type of people, a people who are victorious over the people of this world. See? He's not looking for people who are questioning everything. He's looking for people who are willing to follow his commandments without a doubt. He says in verse 13, I am Yahweh your Elohim who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you shall not be their bondmen, their slaves. And that's one thing about that RDIF chip. It's supposed to, you know, be able to terminate the slaves that have it, who've kind of run away from their masters. You need to read the article. It's very interesting. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you go upright. And that's what Yahweh has done. He separated us from the people of this world. We're not subject to this paganism that these people go through. They are fearful of the signs in the heavens. Verse 14, it says, but if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and consume the soul, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat of it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not yet for these things listen to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sin. He's going to multiply those sins times seven, just like I said, he multiplied their captivity, Israel, seven times. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Now, sometimes we question why we aren't as productive as we should be. But are we checking, are we keeping all of Yahweh's covenant law? Are we walking in his commandments without hesitation, without a problem? Verse 21, it says, and if you walk contrary to me, I will not listen, and will not listen to me, I will bring seven times more plagues on you according to your sins. And I will send the beast of the field among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your ways shall become desolate. And if by these things you will not be reformed to me, if you won't return to me, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will afflict you, even I, seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this listen to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath. And I will also punish you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, your worship, and cut down your sun images, your idols, and cast your dead bodies on the bodies of your idols, and your soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities a waste, and will bring your sanctuaries to desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies that dwell in it shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your city shall be a waste. It says, then, in verse 34, shall the land enjoy its Sabbath, as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy its Sabbath. As long as it lies desolate, it shall have rest, even the rest which it had not in your Sabbath, when you dwelt in it. He's talking about the sabbatical year. As for them that are left of you, I will send a faintness into their heart in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of the driven leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as one flees from the sword, and they shall fall when none pursues, and they shall stumble one upon another as if were before the sword when none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies, and you shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity, in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Yahweh is a very special, mighty one. He has a special covenant with his people. He's asking each and every one of us to keep that covenant for our benefit. See, we receive blessings when we keep Yahweh's covenant. But these curses that are coming upon his people are coming upon his people for sin. In verse 40 it says, and they shall confess their iniquity and their iniquity of their fathers and their trespass, which they trespassed against me. And also that, because they walk contrary to me, I also walk contrary to them, and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart is humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. This is with Israel. And also my covenant with Isaac, Yitzchak, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember. And I will remember the land. The land also shall be left by them and shall enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. And I am Yahweh, their Elohim. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the nations, that I might be their Elohim. I am Yahweh, Ani Yahweh. These are the statutes and the ordinances and laws which Yahweh made between him and the children of Israel and Mount Sinai by Moses. Remember the seven times that we talked about in this passage, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 14. This message is entitled, Yahshua is Victorious. Yahshua is Victorious. Matthew chapter 8. Like I said, starting in verse 14. And when Yahshua was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to him. And when evening had come, they brought to him many possessed with demons. And he cast out the spirits with a word. Yahshua cast them out with a word. He didn't have to touch them. He cast them out with a word, brethren. And he healed all that were sick. Don't you think this had an impression on Peter, who had been with Yahshua? But see, this was Peter's family that was being healed, his mother-in-law. So this had to have an impression on him. it says in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Drop down to verse 27. Says, and the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And verse 28, when he had come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with demons, coming forth out of their tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man could pass by the way. Behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Son of Yahweh? Have you come here to torment, that word torment is judge, us before the time? They know that they're going to be judged. There's a time of judgment coming for the demons, for those who are not doing Yahweh's work, who are not following Yahweh. And these demons I'm talking about, you know, the angels, the third that Satan was able to pull behind them, they're the demons. They're the ones that take possession over the people. Now there was afar off in verse 30 a herd of many swine feeding, and the demons supplicated him, saying, if you cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And they came out and went into the swine. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that fed them fled, and went away into the city, and told everything, and what had happened to them that were possessed with demons. And behold, all the city came out to meet Yahshua. When they saw him, they supplicated him that he would depart from their borders. Isn't that something? Instead of wanting him to teach them, to spend time with them, they wanted him to leave. So you have to understand that this is a dark world that we live in, and Satan has control. And most of the people are following him, and most of them have demons. Luke chapter 9. I'll start in verse 1. Read verses 1 and 2. It says, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of Yahweh and to heal the sick. Yahshua gave that commission to his people, to each and every one of us. He gave it to the 12. He also gave it to the 70, which we'll see a little later. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 17 to 20. It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, teacher, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So Yahshua has given us this ability. He's given us this power. He's given us the victory, because he's had the victory over Satan. Nevertheless, in this, in verse 20, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's what we need to be concerned about, brethren, that our names are written in heaven, and that we have the power, and that we have the victory over the demons of this world, this age. We have the power over the enemy. Isaiah chapter 53. Yahshua is victorious. In Isaiah chapter 53, we'll start in verse 4. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, struck of Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Yahweh has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All of our sin was laid upon Yahshua, brethren. Verse 7, he was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth as a lamb that is led to slaughter, and as a sheep that is before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And that's each one of us, brethren. That stroke was due, because each one of us were the sinners, not Yahshua. But Yahshua was victorious over Satan and the world. He's given us an example of how we should live our lives in victory. Verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him, he that put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge of himself. Shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for each and every one of us. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Yahshua has overcome the world. He's had the victory. Yahshua is victorious. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 14. Mark 7:14. And he called to him the multitude again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing from outside the man that going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man are those that defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, from the multitude his disciples asked him of the parable. And he says to them, are you so without understanding also? Perceive you not that whatever from outside goes into the man, it cannot defile him, because it goes not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes out in the draught, carried off all that is eaten. And he said, that which proceeds out of a man, that defiles the man, from within the man, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things proceed from inside and defile the man. And this is where these demons, and these all represent demons. Okay? fornication, murders, thefts, adulteries, coveting, all of them represent, just like you have the nine fruits of the Spirit, you have all these negatives that are demons that are within men's hearts that have to come out. And when you receive the gift of Yahweh's Holy Spirit, they're cast out. Okay? Think about the things that people do, one to another. Okay? If you sin against your brother and you steal something from him, theft, it's like the people walking around in the earth right now. You got so many people who look one to another and say, well, you know what? I'm a better person than he is because I don't do this. This is not my sin. But see, all they're doing is comparing one to another. Without Yahweh's Holy Spirit, they still have to get rid of those demons that they have. When you smoke even cigarettes, it's a demon. Those habits that come from within the heart, those habits that are, like people talk about, not only nicotine, but any drugs, any addictions that you have that take you away from Yahweh is a sin, and there's a demon there that is trying to keep you from Yahweh. You have to understand this. There's a separation between that which is holy and common, that which is clean and unclean. And what Yahweh wants is you to be separated from that which is unclean. He wants you to accept that which is holy, which is His Spirit, which the Holy Spirit cannot exist in a person that is committing sin. So if you're out there committing adultery, fornication, stealing, doing these negative things, violations of the covenant, you don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. King David, when he had sinned with Bathsheba, and he wrote Psalm 51, he asked Yahweh not to take his Holy Spirit from him. But we know for a fact that Yahweh, you know, had, because the Holy Spirit cannot abide in sin. Keep your finger at Mark, where we are. We're going to come back to Mark 7:24. We're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 15. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of the Messiah? Shall I then take away the members of the Messiah and make them members of a harlot? By no means. Or do you not know that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? They become one flesh. For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined to Yahweh is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You got to get rid of that demon. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from Yahweh? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify Yahweh, therefore, your body. See, in Israel, there were the daughters of Israel and the sons of Israel. And they were not supposed to make harlots of the daughters of Israel. Think about it. Verse 24, Mark chapter 7. And from there he arose and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, which is Phoenicia. Those are the two major cities. And he entered into a house, and he would have no man, and would have no man know it, and he could not be hid. But immediately a woman, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek; she was Gentile, a Syro-Phoenician. She was a combination of a Syrian and a Phoenician by race. And she supplicated him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children first be filled, and it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." But she answered and said to him, "Yes, master, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon is gone out of your daughter." And she went away to her house and found the child laid upon the bed and the demon gone out. See, Yahshua looked at her faith and gave her that healing because she was faithful. Even talking about the dogs, the Gentiles. He was talking about the children, Yahweh's people, the Yehudim, the worshipers of Yahweh, who they call Jews. And he was talking about their bread. It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. But you know what? Yahshua had compassion on this woman and healed her child and cast out that demon. We have the victory, brethren, over this world and the demons of this world. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, demons, to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease and all manner of sickness." Just verse 1, okay. And then chapter 17, Matthew 17. Yahweh has given us the same commission. Matthew 17, verse 14. "And when they were come to him, the multitude, there came to him a man kneeling to him, saying, 'Master, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers grievously, for frequently he falls into the fire and is often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.'" But he had just given them the ability in chapter 10 to cure and cast out these demons. "And Yahshua answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Yahshua rebuked him, and the demon went out of him, and the boy was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Yahshua apart afterwards and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of your little faith.'" Brethren, we have to increase our faith. "For truly I say to you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Remove from here to yonder place,' and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind," talking about the demon, "goes not out, but saved by prayer and fasting." Are we praying and fasting the way we need to, brethren, for this ministry? Are we praying and fasting so that we can do what Yahshua has commissioned us to do? Turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 9. "Now when he had been raised early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Miriam Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, disbelieved." They didn't believe her. She was a faithful servant of Almighty Yahweh. Because Yahshua cast out 7 demons from this woman. Verse 12, "And after these things, he was manifested in another form to 2 of them as they walked." And these are the 2 that were walking from Emmaus. and on their way into the country. And they went away and told it to the rest, neither believed they them. The second time, and they still didn't believe. Verse 14, and afterward he was manifested to the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good tidings to the whole creation. He that believes and is immersed shall be saved. You got to believe first, and you got to be immersed. You got to be baptized. Whether it's by water or the Holy Spirit, you must be baptized. And you shall be saved. But he that disbelieves shall be condemned. And these are the signs that shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak in new languages. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the teacher Yahshua, after he had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of Yahweh. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the master working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So these signs are going to follow those who are Yahweh's people, because they're going to be casting out demons and healing the sick and doing Yahweh's work. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass soon afterwards that he went about through the cities and villages preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of Yahweh, and with him the 12 and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Miriam, that was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Shophus, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them of their substance. So they were doing what they needed to do for this work. Those that Yahshua had healed, had given them the victory over Satan and the demons. They were helping this ministry with their substance, which meant they were tithing. They were helping. Even Herod Stewart, you know, she was working for the king. But she believed and followed Yahshua. Matthew chapter 12. Brethren, the time has come for, you know, this thing to get up and move in a mighty direction. And this is why I started this message out with about Tyrone. Because Tyrone was a very powerful leader of this organization. He led YPTC. He was the president. And that's why I want you to read his memorial. I want you to see the things that are spoken about this man who dedicated his life to this ministry. Matthew 12, starting in verse 22. Then was brought to him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the Spirit of Yahweh, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of Yahweh come upon you? Or how can one enter into the house of a strong man and plunder his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? He's talking to the leadership of the Jewish people. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we saw that in another scripture. What comes out of the heart? Fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, coveting. These are all demons, brethren. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every idle word, so you got to watch what you say, that men speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. A lot of people find themselves in trouble, and they make statements like, you know, they're willing to sell their soul, you know, to the evil one. You got to be very careful about what you say, because there's always somebody listening. There's always somebody listening. And it may be, because the real world is spirit. And it's going to be in that spirit realm. So that's why a lot of people get themselves caught up in things that they don't understand, because they're practicing these pagan, idolatrous rites like Halloween and things of that nature. Think about what you do before you do it, brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not wish, brethren, to have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Messiah. And we know Yahshua, the Messiah, was victorious over this world and Satan the devil. However, in verse 5, with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness in their own sins. Now, these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and 23,000 fell in one day, because they followed Baal Peor, which was a demon. See? They gave into sex worship, and they died because of it. Neither let us make trial of Yahweh, as some of them made trial and perished by the serpents. And they did, because they murmured against Yahweh, as it says in verse 10. Neither murmur as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the age have come. And that's where we are today, brethren. We're at the end of the ages. Yahshua is soon coming again. He's victorious over Satan and the demons that follow him. What about us? Therefore, let him that thinks that he stands watch out, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. In other words, he's going to give you a way of escape, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So he's going to give us that ability to overcome and to flee from idolatry. And it comes in many forms, brethren. And I said, you know, from in the heart, the fornications, the thefts. We have to have the victory over these things in our lives. We cannot be like ancient Israel, who was truly, constantly going and falling before Satan. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, starting verse 14. It says, and he was casting out a demon that was dumb. And it came to pass, when the demon was gone out, the dumb man spoke. And the multitudes marveled. They were impressed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he cast out demons. And others from him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. And again, like I said, I'm bringing this to pass because I want you to understand that this ministry is thriving, it's growing, not only here and in Kenya, but in India. We have a call right now. There are several people that want us to come to India. Three different congregations want us to come over and make them a part of this ministry. And that's something that we're working on right now. You know, Yahweh has opened the door. We're going to pray. He provide the funds. We go. Okay? But there are many demons that have to be cast out before Yahshua returns. And it says, if we go back to verse 18, and if Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I by the finger of Yahweh cast out demons, then is the kingdom of Yahweh come unto you. And when the strong man is fully armed, guards his own courts, his goods are in peace. Because Yahweh is protecting his turf. He's protecting his people. And I know Yahweh is going to protect this ministry. He, throughout all of the problems, Satan has tried to destroy this ministry many times, has not been successful. He struck the leader, as I brought out in the beginning, Tyrone. And yes, the sheep did scatter. But this ministry is still here. It's still viable, and it's still growing. We're still fulfilling the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. It says in verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him his whole armor in which he trusted and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. The unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passes through waterless places seeking rest. Finding none, he says, I will turn back to my house where I came out. So this demon had been cast out. But he didn't find a home. He came back. And when he has come, he finds it swept and garnished. He finds the person ready. Then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits, more evil, like it says in Leviticus, seven times your sins, more evil than himself, and that they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. So those that backslide end up going back from the commission Yahweh has given them, will end up with seven times more demons than when they started out in the first. Matthew chapter 12. Our closing passage. Matthew chapter 12. Actually, it's the same as the one we just read, but we're going to start verse 22. Then was brought to him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this man does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And we know better than that. Satan is not divided. And if by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the Spirit of Yahweh, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of Yahweh come upon you. Did they accept it? No, they did not. They did not accept the kingdom of Yahweh. They fought tooth and nail against it because they did not want to give Yahshua the glory due him or his victory. Verse 29, or how can one enter into the house of the strong man and plunder his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will plunder his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. And I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Drop down to verse 43. But the unclean spirit, when it is gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finds it not. Then he says, I will return into my house where I came out. And when he has come, and he finds it empty, swept and garnished, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be also to this evil generation. Yahshua is victorious, brethren. He has the victory over Satan and this world. He has the victory over death. We know those who have died in Yahshua, who are sincere, will be raised in that resurrection of the 144,000. We are in a dark time of the year where it gets light. I mean, it gets dark most of the day. You know, when you wake up, it's dark, and you go to sleep, it's dark. I mean, when you get home from work, it's dark. So during this dark time, the pagans have their festivals, and they're excited. And you know, we're supposed to stay far from them, brethren. We can witness to them by our lives, by keeping Yahweh's commandments, and showing them that we have Yahweh's Holy Spirit by his love. That's the difference. Yahshua had the victory over Satan through love. And we're going to have the victory over this world the same way. And we're going to be able to cast out these demons and cast them forth as Yahshua did and heal those that are sick through Yahweh's Holy Spirit. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that has given himself to serving Almighty Yahweh in these last days as we prepare for the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. And may Almighty Yahweh give you the victory as he has given Yahshua over this world and the demons in it. Yahweh bless you. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father, we come to you on another Sabbath. We give you thanks and praise for another great message, an inspiring message. We know that Yeshua is truly victorious over this world, over the powers of darkness, and he has given us that victory also. We pray, Father Yahweh, that you would empower us, give us the knowledge, help us to understand and to recognize that we are that we have been given the authority of Yeshua, that he has delegated it to us as we walk in his footsteps, as we keep his Torah, as we're filled with your Spirit. We pray, Yahweh, that you would lead us and guide us. We know that the gift of healing is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're praying, Father Yahweh, that you'd help us to walk in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We just know, Father Yahweh, that you have good things for us, that you are pushing this ministry forward. We are doing our best to live a life that is pleasing to you. And we just pray, Father Yahweh, that you'd be blessed. That is our goal, is to bless you, to give you the praise, glory, and honor you rightfully deserve, because we know that it is in you that we live, move, and have our being. We are not only victorious, but we are more than conquerors through Yeshua. We overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So let us have the testimony that causes us to be victorious. We pray for those, once again, that are on the prayer list. We pray, Yahweh, that you would be, as Winston said, Yahweh Rapha and Yahweh Yireh, and provide the healing that they need. These people, they need an intimate relationship with you. That is the most crucial thing that they can have, is an intimate relationship with you. If they establish a relationship with you, everything else will fall into place. Help us all, Father, to build that intimate, close, personal relationship with you. And we know that you'll cover our shortcomings and you'll take care of us, because we read in Jeremiah 29:11 that you have a good plan for us, a good plan with a good ending. We give you thanks and praise for this Sabbath, for Yeshua, for your Spirit, for your Word. You've done everything to make it possible for us to be in communion, koinonia, with you, Father. Help us to walk in it. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah and amen.